Blog Talk Radio.
The clock system.
Ministers who live lavish and investigative lifestyles by the United Saints. So I want you guys to join with me tonight. So I did this online tonight so you can have your say. And let me just say this because I'm going to have a say and you're going to have a say. And I want to say this. This is TKD Global Radio and Broadcast. and I am heard around the world. Glory to God. It's really not about me. It's heard around the world. And I put a statement on my Facebook page, LaSandra Coleman, the other day, and only one person commented on the front, but I got a whole lot of inboxes, so I just wanted to do this online. And let me just say this to you, okay? Listen to me very closely. Just because I disagree with you does not mean I love you less. Does not mean we are not going to still be sisters in the body of Christ or brothers in the body of Christ, or I would not respect my leadership in the body of Christ. Just because I disagree with you on certain topics does not depict on my relationship with people. Now, I've come to learn that with some people it do. If you disagree with them because they are, and I'm be honest, so I'm a counselor and a life coach, so I'm going to pull from that aspect. I realize when you disagree with some people, they think because you can't disagree with them that you are against them and you are a liar and, you know, you are, not their friend, not loyal in ministry and things of that nature. And let me tell you this, that is all a lie. I have people that I'm very close to that I may disagree with, and I still love them. Just because we disagree don't mean we are not friends. So why you said that, Prophet LaSandra Coleman? Because tonight some of you are not going to agree with what I'm saying, and I want you to know it is 9:06. So tomorrow that changed nothing. I still love you. I'm still going to be on your Facebook page and your Twitter and your IG. Just because we disagree don't mean we have to fall out of relationship. Amen? All right. And so I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to talk tonight. So tonight is a really good open forum. I'm not going to preach to you. This is an opportunity for a lot of you to just express your opinion. Now, it's 9:07, and I'm looking at 14 people plugged in the line already. So you all alive. If you don't want to say anything when I press your number, don't say anything. But if you do, say something. But here's what I do not want you to do. Tomorrow, don't go on my media sites, IG and Twitter and Facebook, and make a comment that you did not make tonight, because I'm just going to be honest with you. I would not respect that at all. So if you don't make a comment tonight and you put it on one of my media sites tomorrow, I'm going to delete you, because this is just LaSandra Coleman, TKD. If you can't even voice it tonight, I have no purpose to respect it tomorrow. So that's why we are online tonight. So I'm looking at a lot of you. You're already online. I'm going to play a clip from Inside Edition Investigations talking about TV preachers living like rock stars and things of that nature. But now, I just want to give a few verses, because when this topic came up, I did voice my opinion. I knew a lot of people hide behind their phones and hide behind their TV screens and hide behind their computers. The king's daughter, I am not one of those people. I will voice my opinion. If you can deal with it, thank God for you, and we can still be cool. But if you can't, then I also thank God for you as well, because that shows me where I am with you. I'm aware I'm not called to everybody in the world, and that's okay with me. But for the ones I am called to, like I always tell people, let my lifestyle prove who I am to you. So my opinions is my opinions and what I believe. And I can respect what you believe. And then you know what? You may have something to say that may change how I see what I see. And that's why I wanted to do this show tonight. Because some of you on the line right now, okay, now we're at 20 people on the line. Some of you may say something to change or challenge my view. And I'm not so hard in my heart that I'm stuck on what I think. I'm stuck on what I believe, and you can't change that. But I'm not stuck on to what I think, and you can bring something to the table that's going to challenge that. So you're talking to a sister, one, who loves you, two, who's still going to be your friend tomorrow, but three, I don't get all upset and mad and discombobulated and, you know, come all out of character because you don't agree with me. So that's why, personally, I can do a show like this. I'm probably the only person in the world on Blog Talk, and when you come to things like this, that can do a show like this, because it doesn't change my nature. Yeah, I said it, because I am, you know, because I've been on enough shows and, you know, dial-ins and Blog Talk. People get all mad with you. Say one thing online, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, my God, okay, what just happened here? But I'm telling you vice versa. I'm not that kind of sister. And listen, the chat room is open, so with 20 people, if you don't want to talk online, you can go in the chat room. So now listen, you have the authority for this show to last for 60 minutes or 30 minutes. Because I'm going to say my piece, and then I'm going to let all you guys go online and say your piece. But if you don't say anything, this show will end at 9:30, period. So that tells me you are kind of hiding behind a screen and don't want to say anything, and you will just attack a person, you know, outside of this. Because most Christians, this is my opinion, I believe most Christians, I would say 40% are cowards. It's like when we have things like this going on, we don't say anything. We just get mad, catch an attitude, and say some stupid stuff instead of sticking to what the Word of God says about the situation. And we'll get all mad. Let me tell you, nobody cares about that. So unless you can talk intelligently or you have an opinion that you are set on according to the Word of God, I'm just telling you from experience of doing this for so many years, nobody really cares. I'm just being honest with you. So my point is, why you say that, TKD? If you got an opinion, a strong opinion, voice it tonight. We are not arguing. Nobody's going to disrespect you on TKD Global Radio and broadcast because I'm not going to let them. But I do want to hear what you have to say about the matter. So in the last recent weeks, televangelist and Pastor Creflo Dollar asked his members to support him in purchasing, I think it's $65 million, a luxury jet plane. So before I comment, I went on his website and see what he was doing already in ministry, and I suggest a lot of you who's online now to do as well. You know, so before we make a judgment about someone, let's see what they are doing in ministry first. Creflo has been in ministry as long as some of us has been alive, you know, if not even longer. And I looked at some things he was doing in ministry, and I'm the kind of person, I'm not so much about interest in growing a church. Yeah, I said it because I'm really not. I'm really interested in growing God's kingdom, saving souls, getting people on welfare, getting mothers and fathers, you know, back on their feet after what we had, the secession, some folks participated in, getting business started, not just black, white, Asian, who's ever in the body of Christ, you know, and things of that nature, getting strippers out of the clubs, you know, getting fathers who want to be fathers back on their feet, get their children. I'm about that kind of ministry. So, you know, for the last year, I've been saved for a very long time and been in ministry for a very long time, but I've come to see the light in some certain things. I am about getting people to do kingdom ministry. When we can get outside of our church, sometimes we have the same conferences every year, the same folks that preach, pray, prophesy. Like, who cares? Unless we are making a change in our community, unless we are making a change in our city, unless somebody know your name as pastor, apostle, bishop, such and so in your state. Nobody really cares. So we have these folks preaching, teaching, and prophesying and things of that nature, but then there is no change. So this is just my opinion. I've come to the conclusion where I just want to do kingdom ministry, and that has nothing to do with your denomination. If you are truly saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and doing the work of the Lord, you probably want to connect with me on Facebook, IG, and Twitter, because that is truly my goal. I'm not trying to manipulate people. I'm not trying to, you know, buy myself another BMW. I bought one off my own income because I'm a real estate agent. But yet I do ministry across the United States and gone to two other nations, you know, on my own finances. So when I speak from experience. I speak from what people have poured into me and things of that nature. And I'm grateful because unlike a lot of you who probably listen, I've had two great teachers. I'm not a church hopper. I've had two great teachers in my life, and they're both still involved in my life, and my heart is truly after ministry. Now, my business is focused on making that money so I can further what the Lord want me to do in ministry. So I guess that's why I'm so passionate when it comes to people trying to come against men and women of God who dedicate their life to ministry, and they have a problem with it. So Creflo wants a $65 million jet, and one brother who I love dearly, his name is Randy. He's on my Facebook. And he said, you know, maybe it should have been a used or pre-owned jet, and that $65 million could have helped a whole lot of people. Okay, I agree with him. I agree. So let me just clear that. I agree. $65 million can help a whole lot of people. And some of you guys on this line right now, I don't know you, but you've inboxed me. Things like, okay, Prophet, $60 million, I'm in the such and so part of the world, and all I need is $100 every month to feed a pastor and his family in this part of the world. And I need $300 to do this. I am not coming against that. Trust me, I'm not. But you're in a different part of the world. And like Creflo Dollar, if you go on his website, you will see that he sold into those kind of ministries. He's not just trying to buy two Bentleys for himself or five condos and five mansions for himself. And even if he does, go on his website and look at the businesses and books that him and his wife do. His wife, Taffy Dollar, I love so much because she does a ministry that I completely believe in. She goes into the clubs into Georgia, and they bring out the prostitutes, educate them. They pay for all the education, and they also pay for them in housing when they have children to get them out that lifestyle and put them back on the streets. Now, for some women, that take 3 months. For some, that take a year. For some, it may take as long as it takes, but they have a program to walk them through it so they don't just blow through the money. They also have missionaries, you know, out there doing things they are supposed to do. And let me just say this. There's a lot of ministers out there who's doing it. There's a lot of ministers. And okay, thank you, Holy Spirit, because I have to say this. Because some of you are right. The reason we're so sick with this and so upset with this is because there are a lot of pastors who use people. They are. They think the sheep is dumb. They take up like two or three offerings doing services and things of that nature. I'm very aware with what Malachi say. The reality is if you have a church, then the tithes and the offerings should take care of the church. If you're going above that, then you probably need to fall back. Because the reality is the tithes and the offerings should take care of the ministry at the level it's at. Now, I have participated in special services and things of that nature, and this is Prophet Lasandra Coleman speaking. God benefit my life and my family because of that. But that's because I heard from the Lord in order to do that. But if that's not intact, don't sow. Let me just say that again. If somebody's coming up, some fake preacher, some charismatic preacher, some fake prophet who's saying, well, sow $8,000, and you know that's not the Lord, then just do not sow. If they lying, do not sow. It's clear as that. It is as simple as that. Do not sow $5,000, $8,000, $2,000, whatever that is. So don't sow when you know you have, unfortunately, been sitting on the line pastor, a line bishop, a line prophet, so on and so forth. Because that, you know, that is truly not the word of the Lord. So before I make my point here, I just want to give a few scriptures. Because this is what I live by. As ministers, as some pastors who are doing the right thing, and man, let me tell y'all, there's a lot of pastors, and I'm talking about the United States now, in the United States, man, they stand married. They are not cheating on their wives. You know, they've been poor, eating Roma noodles and, you know, welfare cheese and all those kind of things, and they don't tell the congregation because they want you to have hope. They want you to have victory and courage. So then they never tell you about those kind of things. And they've been doing these things for like 10, 12 years until they can put their children in a nice school and things of that nature. But here's the thing. The media is not going to tell you guys about that. There's a lot of preachers out there right now, full-time ministers, and listen, I'm a real estate agent, so you can't forget it. I am going to do real estate till the day I die and ministry because I see how church folk treat set gifts, who really doing the right thing. You guys compare them to the ones who not doing the right things, and all they're trying to do is feed their children, feed their spouse. Most of them want to just give up because their finances is not there, and they got to beg the congregation to keep their lights on, and you don't even know that because you're not praying, some of you, and you don't know what their needs are. So they ride around in these raggedy cars. They got to put their hands on God, let it crank up, God, let it crank up, so I can go preach your word. No, I tell you what, I don't want my bishop and my mentors living like that. So I always say, God, bless me so I can be a blessing to my family because my husband is the pastor of this home. But my bishop is the pastor of the church, amen? And I don't want him living raggedy and stressed out and things of that nature with his wife and his children. And you should want that as well. Okay, so let's fast forward because I want to play something for you. I just mentioned Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I would not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's why I just said what I just said. Every church should have 100% tithing members to come in and just give their tithe. You're not paying it because God trusting you with the 10% so you can do more with the 90%. So I will say this on the behalf of some of you guys. If the church is not doing what they should do with the 10%, you are right. They are out of order. Because that 10% of all the members should take care of the church. And they shouldn't be begging and manipulating all those kind of things. That's just TKD opinion on it. Now, but what if you got a church full of 500 people and only 100 is doing tithes and offerings? That church is going to fall short. I mean, you know, church is not a necessarily, I want to say something like the world business, but it is something that God has put in effort for people, you know, to prosper from as givers, and the man and woman of God to have a living off of. Because believe me, you want your man or woman of God to be praying, to stay in that word, to give you a good word every Wednesday at Bible study and every Sunday at church, but also throughout the week. Our church is open 7 days a week. So I hope some of you are in the same experience. So you guys, hold on. Here's another one. 3 John 1:2, I just thought about it. Beloved, I wish above all that thou may prosper and be in health even as thy soul prosper. How about Psalms 127:2? It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Come on now. And my favorite, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon them both day and night, and thou shalt make observe to do all that are written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you are serving under a man or woman of God, who you know they are doing all they know how to do to serve the Lord, why do they have to go to the thrift stores all their lives? There may be a season where they may have to go to the thrift stores or, you know, get bargains and clip coupons. But why does it have to be that all their lives? And like I said on my Facebook, we have no problem when Jay-Z and Beyonce get a private jet. We have no problem with the cartels, the drug dealers, getting a fleet of Bentleys and things like that. Oh, my God. And we have no problem with the politicians hiding money and lying to us and purchasing yachts and things of that nature. I know it goes on up north. I don't know about y'all down south, but I'm very involved in the counties that I'm in and around me. But we have no. But when the man and woman of God who say, you know, I just want to upgrade, you know, and just benefit off the prosperity that God has given me, we seem to have a big deal about that. And the reality is, it's just not fair. Like people who don't tithe, I realize you don't understand what the word of God says. Oh, prophet, why you say that? Because I tithe, me and my husband both. We tithe, and we see the benefit of our lifestyle with that. Some months when we fall short, we don't fall short because of our tithing, and we understand that. So most people who complain don't tithe, and they usually are broke. Yeah, I said it. Matter of fact, so the next person complained, just ask them this. Do you tithe faithfully? Yeah, write that on your IG. Write that on your Twitter and on your Facebook. Simply ask them, do you tithe faithfully? Because most of them who tithe faithfully, they are not in that predicament. So, listen. From 20 people to 22. I'm going to open the lines in a minute. And then first I'm going to play this. This is something from Inside Edition Investigates. She investigated TV preachers living like rock stars, quote unquote. And after this, I want you to listen, but then I'm going to comment right after.
Contrary to that highly publicized prediction, the world did not end over the weekend, which means a number of preachers who live like rock stars will get to continue living the good life. How good? Here's Lisa Guerrero and the iSquad with a look at some who've been preaching prosperity who are living large.
Fresh wind! Fresh!
They are some of the most popular TV preachers in the country. They urge the faithful followers to donate generously, and in return, the Lord will bring them prosperity.
I'm not going to be going to heaven and be broke when I get there.
And there's no denying some people have prospered handsomely.
Wow!
The pastors themselves. They live like rock stars with huge mansions, private jets, and fancy cars. Their lifestyles are so lavish, six of them have been investigated by the U.S. Senate, like Paula White, who lives in multi-million-dollar homes in New York City and Tampa, Florida, and Creflo Dollar. He gets around in style, flying in private jets to preach around the country. He owns this mansion in an exclusive Atlanta suburb.
Mr. Dollar, how do you...
Not one of them would agree to an interview about their opulent lifestyle.
How do you justify your million-dollar mansions and your jets to all of your donors, sir?
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to opulence, few religious leaders compare to Kenneth Copeland.
Hey, you and I are supposed to always have.
He lives in this home outside Fort Worth, Texas. It has beautiful water views and comes complete with a boathouse. But that's not all. Copeland is an avid pilot, and here's his pride and joy, a $20 million Cessna Citation jet. It's the fastest private jet money can buy. He said he needed it to better serve the Lord, and proudly did a flyby for his followers after the church bought it. But it's not just one plane. We found a fleet of planes registered to the church. And you won't catch him waiting in line at the airport because he's got his own, the Kenneth Copeland Airport, located right next to his mansion.
I think Copeland is unbelievably greedy.
Ole Anthony heads the Trinity Foundation, a religious watchdog group that worked closely with the Senate committee investigating Copeland and other TV preachers.
Televangelism alone is at least a $2.5 to $3 billion industry, untaxed, unregulated.
That's right. By law, religious groups like Copeland's are exempt from federal taxes, and they don't have to report how they spend their money to anyone.
Amen.
Copeland's church takes in tens of millions a year through donations and selling books and DVDs to his donors.
She sent them a lot of money, a whole lot of money.
When Christy Parker's mother died of cancer, she found diaries that showed her mother sent Copeland most of her life savings, hoping her faith and donations would cure her of her terminal disease.
What do you think of Kenneth Copeland's lifestyle?
TV doesn't do it justice. Their office furniture is probably worth more than most people's houses. It makes you sick.
Oh, my.
Copeland refused our request for an interview, so we caught up with him at an event in North Carolina.
Why are you living such a lifestyle of luxury off of church donations?
I don't think we have
time for this. Why won't you answer our question?
A hotel employee tried to prevent us from taping.
Wait. Hold on. It's a simple question, sir.
Yes, I'm going to give you a simple answer.
Thank you.
My lifestyle follows the scripture. We give, we believe, we're open.
You have a fleet of private jets. Why is that necessary? You're a minister.
Okay. So, I wanted to just stop it right there, so I hope you heard the point that I was trying to make, and so I didn't take out anything. One thing they said, preachers are living the good life. Isn't that what the Lord called us to do? So what the media tries to do all the time, it seems like we are manipulating people to live the good life. No. One thing I can say about Creflo, when I look at the what he asks, he simply asks his people, and people don't understand that Creflo has a lot of artists in his ministry that can easily donate $1 million easily, and they want to. But from what I understand is he asks each member to give $300. Now, he may get the $65 million plane. He may not. But my point is I'm praying that he do get it. And for those who don't want to send the money, fine. Don't send it. Don't send it if you don't see the value. But let's not kill it in the process, because the members of leadership and of the Christian world were Jeff Meyer, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, who you just heard, they tried to beat up Paula White and Eddie Long. Now, before you make a comment on some of these kind of ministries, here is what I'm saying, people. Just simply Google these people and see what they are doing in ministry, so that we all can be fair. And they didn't just start doing ministry like 2 months ago, not even 5 years ago. These people that I just named been doing ministry for years. I was just in St. Louis about 2 weeks ago. Man, let me tell you, I saw some of the work that Joyce Meyer was doing. My spiritual daughter and son drove me around to see some of the work that Joyce Meyer was doing. And you know what? I'm not gonna even spoil it for you. Look it up. When I said she's doing some big things for a lot of people, she's really doing some big things. Men, women, schools, and children. And what gets me and kind of make me sick is that most of the African American churches are rebelling against her because they think she's taking up. I don't know what they're thinking. It's just kind of stupid, you know. Because the reason is, if you're not trying to be famous, and we're really trying to make Jesus famous, you'll be focused on your own agenda. You'll be kingdom minded, and so she's kingdom minded. So let me just tell you this: how about when you Google Joyce Meyer, look up, and it's public record what goes out every year. And then look up what comes in every year. And then how about this? Look up with what she started with. Nothing but the basement of her house. So all I'm saying, look at the big picture. I mean, we have no problem with celebrities doing things. And I just think, you know, people are so twisted in their thought process when it comes to ministers living the kind of lifestyle God wants them to live. This is their life. This is it. The church is going to benefit. The people are going to benefit, but so is that minister who have dedicated this to their ministry and themselves to their lifestyle. And then if you're not one, you have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. And let me just say this. I'm just going to reiterate. For all of you who say, oh, my God, some preachers are liars and they're thieves and they need like 5 Lexuses and a big house because they don't want to work, you are right. I'm not coming against that. You are right. There are some preachers who lie, manipulate, prophesy, lie, and all that. So I'm not disagreeing with that is out there. But all I'm saying is you got a whole bunch of other ministers. Look at what they're doing in their community, because I can care less what a person do in their church, trying to keep it on a platform so they can preach and be seen and all that because they weren't popular in high school, whatever. Okay, we're not talking about those. I'm talking about for the other ones who have gone full-time in ministry, who's trying to support their family. The scripture I just gave you earlier, Malachi 3:10, this is supposed to sustain their lifestyle at a reasonable level, depending on what reasonable is. If they've been doing this for 30 years, amen, and traveling to 40 countries, not just with their spouse and being greeted, but with their team like Crypto Dollar and doing ministries and feeding them and taking things over there, all I'm saying is open your mind. All of a sudden, it's open your mind, you know. And so, you know, I personally, with the tragedy that just happened with one of our great men of God who died in a plane accident, and, you know, I'm just bringing it because I wouldn't want my bishop, and I have other bishop friends, to be on a faulty plane. I want them to be comfortable to go to do God ministry. Notice he wasn't on that plane by himself. It was, I think, like 8 or 9 other people. You know, why do the drug dealers and the cheating, lying politicians, you know, yeah, I said it, and the lying ministers, the arrogant ones, you know, who ain't doing nothing outside the four walls of their church, who needs to take several seats, why do the good ministers have to suffer because of that? Okay, I see a question coming through the chat room. Ooh, okay, and that's, listen, you're not listening to what I just said, sister. I just said, I'm with you on that. For the lying pastors, unfortunately, we've had some in the body of Christ. You don't see any track record of them doing anything outside their ministry. They're not trying to help the poor. They're not trying to feed the homeless. They ain't got no marriage ministry, no single ministry. That ministry is all about them with their name on it. I just said that. I am not talking about them, so let's keep it in perspective. I'm talking about the ones who's doing things outside their community like Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't often preach in the synagogues a whole lot. He did a bunch of sits on the sea, you know, sitting in the dirt and feeding folks with a child fish dinner. I'm talking about those kinds. Okay, so, well, I thank you because you just tuned in 10 minutes ago and the show been on since 9 o'clock and it's 9:34. So I need you to listen to the first 32 minutes of it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so now listen. It's 9:34. If you got questions, say something now. And if you do not comment. I'm being honest. If you have a question, it's 22 of you on this line. So and it's a whole bunch of different area codes. If you got questions or comments, nobody's going to attack you. This is your question, your comment, and your view. But if you do not comment on my Facebook tonight or tomorrow. Do not comment on my Instagram or my Twitter because I would not respect it if you're on this line. FYI, I can see your phone numbers. I don't know who you are, but I can see your phone numbers. So do we got any questions? You can comment in the chat room, and as well you can comment. Yes, you can comment online. I prefer you to comment online, my dear, because we all can hear you. Nobody knows your name, okay?
Can I say something?
Yes. Hello, caller. Go ahead.
God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you.
You don't know me, but I was sitting here
okay.
listening and pondering on what you were saying. And first of all,
yes,
let me put my name out there. My name is Roderick Leon Woodson, Jr. God has called me as a prophet ever since I was 5 years old. And I was hearing you know, what you was talking about, the preachers getting wealth in the church and the church tithing and doing all these things. You know, it's not me. It's not for me to judge, but I believe God. I
yes,
believe
sir.
what he said. I believe I believe that when God said that people in the end day will become lovers of themselves.
Yes,
and
sir.
That is one of the signs of the end day. There is a spirit that is in the churches nowadays. And the
yes,
spirit is called Nimrod. There's a Nimrod spirit that is in the church. People use words as kingdom builders, people for God, all these different type of words as a mirage to really cover their motive. I'm not saying
yes,
that these preachers are out there getting money and whatever. Who cares about that? What
yes,
I care about is when we die, yeah, and we have to go see God. And you go to God and you say, God, I prophesied in your name. God, I led people to you in your name. I laid hands on the sick. I feel like crying and weeping because some of the stuff that you were saying, woman of God, was not biblically correct, but it was emotionally correct because prophets are not like. Now, you call yourself a prophet. We call ourselves prophets, apostles, whatever. But let me tell you something. Prophets are not like. They're despised. They're murdered. They're stoned. Why? It's because they expose the sin. Yeah. They expose the sin of the body of Christ. Now, I just want to let everybody know, I don't care if this is all around the world and these preachers could be listening now. God showed me 3 days ago that there's going to be pastors dying and falling dead behind the pulpit. There's going to be pastors being exposed because God is not pleased with the church. Yeah, God is not pleased. The church is a fashion show. Who got the biggest car and got the nicest dress? Tell you something. It's not up to us, yeah, to be able to see the sin and not call it out. Because if we can't call out the sin, the God said the blood will be on our hands. See, it's not about how many members you have in your church. I'd rather have 2 super saved members than 1,000 leading astray, and God has to deal with me on the day of judgment. Let me tell you something. The people that God has some pity for, woman of God, I don't care if they have the smallest church in the United States of America. Yeah, but God has some people that walk with authority and that walk with power. We walk with power. Why? It's because we suffer for the anointing. It's a difference. I don't care how many PhDs you have. I don't care how many PhDs you have. I don't care how many doctorates you have. But let me tell you something. As a prophet of God, today I prophesy that there's going to be preachers being exposed this year. They're going to fall dead this year because they praying with God's people. And if anybody that is praying with God's people and taking up for them, God said they're going to fall too. Because you know what? This is the end days, man. This is the end game.
Yes.
We ain't
yes,
playing. They got people. Look, these people got so much money, but they can't lay hands on a dog and make it bark. They got so much money, but they can't even, the sick ain't even being healed. How can you call yourself a man of God, but you ain't walking with power? You ain't walking with authority. You ain't walking with the anointing of God. The anointing. That's what's wrong with the church. They are so emotional where they can't even identify the true glory of God. And that's the bottom line. You can sterilize my name today. I can care less. But I'm going to tell you what thus says the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God said that he's coming back and he's going to bust this mess up up in this church. I don't care about how much money you have. That don't make you no great preacher, because half of them preachers are going around sleeping with Susie Q and Evangelist such and such.
Well, let me, Prophet,
I'm
listening, Prophet, I'm listening to you. Now, you say your name is Roderick Woodrick?
Roderick Woodson from Nashville, Tennessee, area code 615. I'm 28 years old. I was pronounced dead for 7 hours, woman of God. I was pronounced dead for 7 hours. I was shot three times. Let me tell you something. I was pronounced dead. And God brought me back. And he said, son, a lot of people ain't going to like you. You ain't going to have no big church, and your name is not going to be big. But for you, I have called you a prophet to the nation. And I tell you this one thing, you woman of God, people going to hear this over this line, and they better repent. They better repent. They better repent, because God is not in this foolishness.
My God, my God, my God. Let me just say this to you, prophet. Some of the things you just said, I completely agree. And I don't know if you saw a video I made in January. The Lord talked to me in my prayer room. I don't know if you saw that, but some of the things you just said, it was January the 20th. Go on Facebook to LaSandra Coleman and look at that video, and it's on YouTube. It's a warning. It's a prophetic warning to the body of Christ. It's under my name, LaSandra Coleman. Sir, I'm just going to tell you, prophet, you are right. There's a lot of things you just said. You are right, and folks are not going to like us. And I don't want you to think that I'm sugarcoating anything at all. I don't call myself a prophet. I was born one, and it was verified by 6 different people in 4 different states. And so I knew I was called as a prophet. So I'm not the kind of person trying to get money from people. I'm a real estate agent. My husband works with the military base. We don't need to take folks' money. If I ask for money, trust me, the Lord says so. I live a very comfortable lifestyle, very comfortable, and I work my butt off to live this kind of lifestyle, and so do my husband. So I just want you to know that, man of God, I hear you, and a lot of things you just said is so true. You are right. You are right. And that's why I hope you heard what I said at the beginning of the message. I didn't say all ministers. I said the ones who's trying to manipulate. And then you begin to talk about the Nimrod spirit. You are on it. And nobody can tell you different. But you know what? Because the reality is you are on it. And there's a lot of people who are going to suffer because they're thinking, oh, there's nothing going on. God don't really care. He ain't really looking. I can get away with stuff. No, God is looking. And they're not going to get away with things. But as men, as yourself, when the Lord calls you to lead certain things and to go preach that word that you were just said on this line, everybody's not going to want to hear that, but God's going to send you, and guess what? He's going to front your airfare in your hotel room so you can get that word there. You may not have a whole lot of friends. Trust me, I know from experience, and we love people, but we're not completely sold on having a whole lot of friends, because in this time where we got homosexuals leading the church, marrying each other. We got liars in the church trying to pray for us. We got folks who ain't living right, like you said, sleeping around, laying hands on folks. My brother, my prophetic brother, I'm with you on that. I am not saying anything different. This is not an emotional move. I advertised it and only got 20 folks online, but yet I got over 4,000 followers. So I'm not looking for folks to like me. I just want to put truth out there just like you do.
If
so,
you don't
a lot
mind,
of things,
may I interject?
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell you this. There was nobody, this is just for me, this is for Roderick. There was nobody that told me that I was a prophet but God. God spoke to me and came to me himself. The only two positions in the body of Christ that no man can call you to is a prophet and an apostle.
Yes, sir.
Only God, only God can call you as that. And in evangelism, and evangelism in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord said, take nothing with you. See, it was times where my apostle, he told me a story. My apostle is a very powerful man of God. He said that when you go evangelize, you don't take nothing with you. You, most of the times when he did it, he was in ministry for 50-something years. He said when he go and minister, he only had a one-way ticket. Yeah. He had no food. He had nothing.
Yes.
Why? It's because he had to depend nothing but on the Spirit of God. And let me tell you something, woman of God, I just feel God so toughly and so rough right now. But there's some stuff that you've been dealing with. But God told me to tell you, you're going to have favor in the midst of it. Because see, there's a lot of people that don't understand the ministry of a prophet, don't understand the ministry. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe only for myself. I believe that God has not called a woman to be a prophet, but a prophetess. It's a difference. It's a difference.
Well, here is
these women
here is,
that
want to
call themselves bishops. I'm sorry, these women, and you can hit me all up in life and left and right. I'm just like you.
No, I'm not going to do that.
What I believe in. These women that call themselves bishops, God is not calling to be a bishop. Apostle, God is not calling to be an apostle. But God did say that his daughters shall prophesy, but he did not say that he was going to call to be a prophet.
But let me just say this, because it does say in Ephesians that he calls some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. So he didn't put prophetess on it. That's why I say I'm the prophet of God. When we say I'm the prophetess, it seems like we are making excuses for being a woman. And that was mentioned in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, in Ephesians 4 and 9 through 12, it mentions the apostle, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and
there was one woman. There was one woman that was in the lost books of the Bible. She was Paul's
father. Well, we won't go into the lost books. We're gonna stay into the Bible, which what we have. I know where you're going. Trust me, I've attended Bible college and things of that nature. I didn't get my license offline. Trust me on that. You know, I've done the study like anybody else who deserve to be in that position and who have studied and shown themselves approval unto God to rightly divide the word of truth. Nobody gave me nothing.
And God
the
has
Lord
not called
him
to. God
See,
has
I
not
don't,
called people to some of these positions.
Yes, sir, but I don't understand how you come up with the Lord didn't call a woman to do it, and then, see, I don't get into those kinds of debates.
A woman did not call a woman to be a prophet.
But, see, I don't get into those kind of debates because it's not biblical. It's not biblical.
So, woman of God, take it the way you want to take it. It's tight, but it's right, Doc.
I hear you, sir. But, listen, I love
God
you,
bless
and
you.
I'm going to God bless you. And listen, thank you. Thank you, Prophet, for tuning in tonight. You know, we don't have to be enemies. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I know you love me, and I want you to continue to tune in to TKD Global Radio.
Just
okay?
Get in position. Get in your rightful position of God.
I'm in my rightful position.
That God has not called you to, ma'am.
God has called and ordained me as a prophet. I was born one, sir, and I'm going to be one till the day I leave this world. That's what he called me to do. And I've been doing that, and the Lord has been pleased with what I've been doing. So if it's not biblical, I don't really go by that. I'm not in a religious world. I'm in the Word of God, and I'm staying with what he said, that Lasandra Coleman, TKD, should be in this age. Because the reality is our fruit will show forth in what God has called us to be. Are you still there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So listen, I'm grateful for everybody that's on this line tonight. I don't hate anybody. I am an overseer and a prophet. I was born one. I should be a prophet to the day I die. God don't care what's between my legs and what's between a man's leg that make us different. That is not biblical. It's not biblical, and nobody can really prove that. But listen, all the listeners on, I hope you guys continue to tune in and listen to what's going on. And I want you all to come back Because you know what? It's like the prophet just said, it's tight, but it's right. But we have got to be biblical. We have got to stay in the Word of God. And we have got to do these things the way the Lord is pleased with. So I want to thank all 22 listeners who tune in tonight on this subject. I'm gonna have more subject. And listen, I don't care who you are from around the world, tune in. Because we need to hear you. We need to know what God is saying to the body of Christ. And the thing I learned about God in my prayer room for the last over 14 years of my life, He's always speaking to me. Amen. My life produces fruit as I pray yours do as well. Glory to God. Loathe and hate does not exist in my vocabulary. And I love everyone. There is nothing you can say or do to make me love you less. And you know where I get that from? My Father. Because He loves us unconditionally. I love you. Tune in. Amen. Later this week, I'm going to have another show, another topic. Tell your friends, well, this is one show where you will not be disrespected. All we want is the truth, the divided word of truth from the word of the Lord. And we need every apostle, every prophet, every pastor, every teacher, every evangelist, every usher, every ministry of help, all those working in prophetic giftings, all those logic people. Listen, all you guys are needed. Don't let church tell you different, because we got to get out of this religious mindset. You know why? Because nothing is growing in the religious mindset, and they constantly stay in old wineskin. I don't know about you, but I want everything God got for me. Amen. And I'm ready for the new wineskin. Glory to God. Well, I love you with the love of the Lord. Be blessed. And until next time, know that I love you. But your Father in heaven, oh, my God, He's in love with you, and He loves you so much more. Good night.